Yes, we are all there. So I will repeat the verse, number 36, chapter 1. Papam evashayet asman. Please repeat. Yeah. Okay, I will say one time so you can repeat. Papa me vashayet asman.
Papa me vashayet asman.
Hatvaitan atatatinaha. Tasmanarha vayam hantum. Dhritarashtran sabandhavan svagyanam hikatam hatva sukhina shyama madhava. Okay, someone would like to try? Papam evashayet asman. Hatvaitan atatainam.
Tasmanarha vayam hantum.
Tasmanarha vayam hantu.
Dhartarashtran
sabandhavam. Svajanam hikatam hatva
sukhina shyama madhava
sukhina shyama madhava papam evashayet asman advaitan atataina tasmanarha vayam hantum Dhartarashtran sabandhavam Sajanam hikatam hatva Sukhinam shama madhavam Papam eva ashraye dasmam Advaita adatayinam Tasmanarha vayam hantum Dhartarashtran sabandhavam
Svajanam hikatam hatva
Svajanam hikatam hatva
Sukhina
shyama madhava Papam eva ashraye dasmam Okay, so translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sin will occur us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic injunctions, there are six kinds of aggressors. A poison giver, one who sets fire to the house, one who attacks with deadly weapons, one who plunders riches, one who occupies another's land, and one who kidnaps a wife. Such aggressors are at once to be killed, and no sin is incurred by killing such aggressors. Such killing of aggressors is quite befitting any ordinary man, but Arjun was not an ordinary person. He was saintly by character, and therefore he wanted to deal with them in saintliness. This kind of saintliness, however, is not for a kshatriya. Although a responsible man in the administration of a state is required to be saintly, he should not be cowardly. For example, Lord Ram was so saintly that people even now are anxious to live in the kingdom of Lord Ram, Ramaraja. But Lord Ram never showed any cowardice. Ravana was an aggressor against Rama because Ravana kidnapped Rama's wife, Sita. But Lord Ram gave him sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world. In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider the special type of aggressors, namely his own grandfather, own teacher, friends, sons, grandsons, etc. Because of them, Arjuna thought that he should not take the severe steps necessary against ordinary aggressors. Besides that, saintly persons are advised to forgive. Such injunctions for saintly persons are more important than any political emergency. Arjuna considered that rather than kill his own kinsmen for political reasons, it would be better to forgive them on grounds of religion and saintly behavior. He did not, therefore, consider such killing profitable simply for the matter of temporary bodily happiness. After all, kingdoms and pleasures derived therefrom are not permanent, so why should he risk his life and eternal salvation by killing his own kinsmen? Arjuna's addressing of Krishna as Madhava, or the husband of Goddess of Fortune, is also significant in this connection. He wanted to point out to Krishna that as the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would ultimately bring about misfortune. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees. So, dear devotees, I beg you to please give me your blessings to be able to say something valuable to my life and to your life. So what we can see in this verse, it's a very interesting verse actually. There are many things that can be said in this verse. So first of all, we see, I would like to ask you, how many know the Mahabharata? Please lift up your... Okay, so you know the stories of them. You know the Gita. Okay, that's good. So the Gita is part of the Mahabharata. So in the Mahabharata, there is how does the fight come up? So there is these two parties, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and the Kauravas are the bad ones, and they are brothers. They are not brothers from the same blood, but in India, when you are coming from the same family, they all call each other brother and sister. The family tie is very, very, very strong. So it's very important to consider the family attachment in this period especially. So here we see that the Kauravas have tried since very, very early age to kill the Pandavas, the five brothers. Why? Because they wanted power, they wanted a throne. So we have here six sins, and they say that if you do these sins, then you can kill that person. And in this case, we see that the Kauravas did all of these six sins against the Pandavas. So they gave poison to Bhima when he was just a little boy, and they tried to kill him, but it didn't work out. And they also set fire to their house. They created this house with lots of lack, and only by the grace of Vidura, this great saintly person, they were able to escape by excavating a tunnel under the earth, and they were able to escape from the house. And then one who attacks with deadly weapons, so we have seen that often also, their intention to kill them in many different ways. One who plunders riches, and they always wanted the throne. And Yudhishthira was the one who was supposed to go on the throne, who was the elder of the five Pandavas. But Dhritarashtra's elder son, he wanted to become the king. So they try every type of cheating in order to plunder the riches of the Pandavas. They wanted the empire. And one who occupies another's land, so we can see that through the process of cheating and gambling, in a gambling match, the Pandavas lose everything. And by losing everything, they occupy their land. And also when, and they were sent to exile for 13 years, if I'm not wrong, 13, yes, 13, okay. And when they come back, they were supposed to get back their land, their piece of land, and they were not willing to do that. So they, the Pandavas, they say, okay, then let us have only 5 villages where we can rule, because we are Kshatriyas, we need to rule. And what is the name of the elder son? Duryodhana, thank you. So Duryodhana says, I will not even give you the land where the tip of a needle can stay on. So what to do? They also plant, they also occupied the other's lands. And they say also one who kidnaps a wife. In this case, we can see how Draupadi was being stripped naked in front of a whole assembly of men. So we are speaking of a culture where women were extremely chaste. They were always very covered, and no man would ever see them. And so we can see here in the gambling match, the Pandavas lose their wives. And she's been taken in the assembly. And then she's been saved by Krishna. Krishna only was able to save her. And he appears as an unlimited sari to cover her. And she was escaped. Her chastity was saved by that. So we can see here like how the Kauravas actually committed many, many sins, and repeatedly. Every action, every thought of them was directed towards killing the Pandavas and get rid of them so that they could have full power and control over the throne. So the Pandavas had all the rights to kill the Kauravas. But Arjuna, he was a very saintly person. He was very sensitive, and he can't do it. He's very bewildered, and he says, Krishna, I can't do it. They are my parents, they are my brothers, and he's my grandfather, my teachers. I can't do it. I love them. I can't fight against them. But Krishna says, no, you have to, because this is your duty. You are a Kshatriya. They committed these sinful acts that you can kill them, and by doing that, you will not get any reaction for that. But still, Arjuna has this deep attachment for their family members. It's and then Arjuna says, well, in here it says that it's very important to forgive. And in a lecture, Radhanath Swami said a beautiful, beautiful sentence. The greatness of a person can be estimated by his ability to forgive. So we can see how forgiveness is a basic element in spirituality, because if we are able to forgive, then the chains are not locking us in the past. And if we are locked in the past, we can try to step forward, try and try, but we are locked. We can't move further. and we are trapped in the past. So forgiveness is a very, very, very important attribute, quality that we have to develop in order to grow, in order to actually go on. Because if we still have anger towards someone, that's when we can't forgive. So forgiveness is indeed a very, very great quality. But how come then Krishna is not accepting that? Why is Krishna not giving value to such a great saintly quality as forgiveness or tolerance as Arjuna had? These are qualities that we are aspiring for. Why does Krishna not accept that? So we can see this sometimes in our life, that we are in a situation. And in this situation, there are people who hurt us. They hurt us. It can be physically, it can be mentally, emotionally, it can be spiritually. These people hurt us by blocking us in advancing. And there are people who are literally emotionally tortured year after year being with the person, being maybe with like family members who are just devastating them. They are sad and they are depressed and they are thinking of committing suicide. They are thinking of escaping. Or maybe a partner who is with the who is being beaten by the partner, or by a woman who is like very controlling. And these are all negative elements that block a person from further advancing. So, well, should we kill the people? Kill these people and go forward? Well, not really, not a physical killing. But we can kill the situation. We can put a stop to that. We can decide, well, is this situation favorable for my spiritual life? Is this actually favorable? And we realize that. We look into that. And then we think, well, no. Actually, are these friends of mine good for my spiritual life? Are they bringing me forward? Or are they actually taking me back? Or are they actually making me stagnant? So it's very important to actually know who are we associating with. And forgiveness is very important. But forgiveness is not being stupid. It's not being childish. Forgiveness is something we do with intelligence. So if something is actually keeping on hurting us again and again, it's stupid actually to forgive. We can forgive with the heart, but we stay away. And in this case, Krishna is actually suggesting something to Arjuna which is far beyond the good saintly quality of being forgiving, which is devotional service. Krishna is saying, yes, 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 very nice. Your qualities are very good. You're forgiving, you're tolerant. But there is something else you could do, and that is perform your duty. Oh, thank you. Nice. Gopinath, just embrace me. They say that the garland of flowers is like an embrace that we are offering to God. So it's like, you know, you go, you know, like the other day we went to Maastricht, like hours and hours, and we take all the flowers and we cut everything, we put in the pots, and there are so many flowers that we were thinking, how are we going to put them in the car? And then we try to find all the spots and put the flowers in the car, and then we drive fast because we don't want them to dry, and then we come in, and then we have to like bring them out and put them inside and wash everything before, and everything is settled nicely. And then there are all these devotees, girls normally, who come and pick them up and then start doing the garlands, one by one, with love and devotion. And they are making these beautiful garlands, which are actually embraces. It's an act of love that we are giving to the deities. And then they are being put on the deities. So we can see like how, what a process of love that is there in the deities. And then happens that the deities give back the embrace to us. They give back the love to us. So it's very important to actually feel this love for the deities, you know, like give this to the deities, to Krishna, and to feel this connection. And more we love them, and more we get this love back. And it's a very like natural process. We give and we get. So it's sorry, just because the gallon came. So I was saying about Krishna that he is actually suggesting devotional service, and this is an act of love. Krishna is actually asking, love me. You know, he's saying like, you know, embrace me, love me. Because that's actually the highest form of religion. And so how does he love him? How can we show love to Krishna? By devotional service. We do what he's asking us to do. He says, according to your nature, following your duty, do things, be active, but do it thinking of me, do it for me, and that is devotional service. So Krishna is asking Arjuna, you kill them, you fight, you do this battle, and you do it for me, you do it thinking of me. So what happens? This becomes a sacred battle. It's not just any battle. It's we always have battles in our lives, in the mind, in the heart, things happening in every single direction, starting from inside to outside and from the whole world. There are battles and battles and battles. But what is the difference between that battle and this battle? Yes, there is a physical difference. But the difference is that there is Krishna. There is Arjuna, who is a devotee. He is doing it for Krishna. So in the same way, our battles of everyday life can become sacred if we can put Krishna in our lives. If we can be a devotee, be a friend like Arjuna to Krishna, and then do it for Krishna. Every day we are struggling. Different reasons in the mind, or because maybe some principles are too hard to follow, or maybe because we just don't tolerate some devotees, or we don't like the service we are doing, we don't like the place, we don't like ourselves, we don't like the place, or our life is a mess, I don't know where am I going, what I should be doing in my life. There are so much like anxiety, fear, and we are just in this big battle. But there is a big difference. Arjuna also is collapsing. He's, how do you call it? Arch?
Arch, yes.
Arch is falling down.
The bow,
thank you. The bow is falling down. He falls on his knees. He's trembling. He can't talk. He can't do anything. And he's saying, Krishna, now I lost all my composure, please help me, please guide me. And that's exactly, he's telling us what we should be doing. He's giving us example. We are also in this huge battlefield and we are alone, and what can we do? How can we actually fight all the demons that we have within ourselves? Every day there are new issues coming from the mind, coming from the heart, coming from the situation, from outside people, from the nature. From everywhere there is problems coming. So how do we face it? Arjuna is actually taking shelter. He's showing us by taking shelter in Krishna. Krishna, I can't do it by myself. I'm just falling apart. The material energy is so big. Please help me. And that's when finally Krishna reveals the Bhagavad Gita. That's when finally Krishna gives us realizations in our heart. Because we think about Krishna like, oh, someone living 5,000 years ago. No. Why do we think that? Why do we put Krishna in a box of time and space? Why is Krishna not eternal? That is one of his attributes. He's eternal. He's ever present. All his leelas, pastimes, are constantly present. Krishna is everywhere. He is in our heart. We think Krishna is so far away. 5,000 years ago, in Kurukshetra, which is some place in India, I have to take a flight and trains and cars and finally reach there, and maybe I see Krishna. No, it's not like that. We can see Krishna everywhere. But do we want to see him? Do we endeavor to see him? Or are we actually engaging our desires in some other materialistic things? Krishna is actually giving us exactly what we need, what we want. All the intentions and the law of attraction is just like pulling towards what we want. Do we want Krishna? Then we will get Krishna. Krishna is not so far. He's just so close. He's inside us. He's in our heart. He's just waiting for us to just turn towards Him. Look at Him. Speak to Him. Feel Him. But we are too busy with our minds. We are too busy with external things. We are too busy lamenting and planning and, you know, like focusing outwards and forgetting Krishna. It's almost like forget. And this is some interesting thing is, we forget to breathe properly. I wonder how many people here know how to breathe. Breathing? Of course I know how to breathe. No, we don't know. People like, by teaching yoga, I notice like people have no clue of how to breathe. And breathing is a basic thing that we do every moment. It's like what keeps us alive. And we don't know how to breathe. In the same way, Krishna is the one who gives us life. Krishna is the one who gives us substance to our lives, and we forget Him. In the same way we forget to breathe, we forget Krishna. The gopis call Krishna as Prananath, the Lord of the breath. If we can actually think about Krishna in every inhalation, in every exhalation, think about Krishna, and think every breath is for you, every thought is for you, every action is for you. Or if it's not, because actually it's very hard to come to that platform, pray for that. Please, Krishna, allow me to come to that platform where I will be one day, be able to give my whole self to you, just surrender completely. I just want you, no one else, nothing else. And it's like a container. More we can put a black liquid or a white liquid, and more of what we put in is more of what we get out. So do we want to put more material energy or do we want to put more spiritual energy? That's our choice. Maybe we can do half and half, just to make sure that I'm not surrendering completely, because, you know, surrender is an act of fearlessness. Mirabai, the great poetess, she was fearless. She was so much in love with Krishna that she didn't care less of what people were thinking about her. She was a royal princess. She was married. She was married in an arranged marriage. And she was completely in love with Krishna. The whole day she would just spend singing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna. And they tried to kill her in many, many, many ways. They couldn't. And then she just leaves to Vrindavan. Fearlessness. At that time, a woman by herself, against the whole society. Fearlessness. Prahlad Maharaj, this little 4-year-old boy, this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, so great that all the demigods were fearful of him. Every single person was fearful of him. But this little boy, he was preaching to the father. He didn't care less to be killed. He was not afraid of being killed. He just wanted to love Krishna. He just wanted to dedicate his life to Krishna. And then we have those exalted examples, and then we have our examples. I'm actually fearful to leave my intoxication, my food habits. I'm afraid to leave my friends who are actually blocking me. But they are still my friends. I'm attached to them. This is attachment. I'm afraid to leave these situations that they are actually chaining me into a pond where we can't get out. We are blocked inside. So where is this attachment coming from? Why are we so attached? Why can't we change this attachment from material to spiritual? It's because For years and years and years and lifetimes, we have been putting in this container material energy. And by putting always material energy, it's very hard to suddenly turn out as pure devotees. Just read the Bhagavad Gita and have full realization and enlightenment in every single sentence. No. We are not at that level. But what we can do is to train ourselves to get into that platform. We can start, first of all, getting the awareness of that. And then starting to fill in this cup with spiritual energy. How do we fill in this cup? How do we fill our consciousness with spirituality? The doors to our consciousness are our senses. So we see Krishna. We don't waste our time by seeing mundane things. Often, we are watching maybe TV or computer, like many different visuals. And all these things are directly entering into our consciousness and it is affecting us. And sometimes as devotees we think, oh, I have been practicing since 7 years, 30 years, I am fixed. Let me just watch a movie, it's okay, just don't be so fanatic. Yeah, in one sense we could say that, but in the other sense we are actually choosing for Maya in that moment. We are choosing for the external material energy in that moment instead of Krishna. And we can say, yes, I have so much of Krishna, so if I put a little bit of Maya, it's still okay because there is still a lot of Krishna. But we are kind of gambling. We are always gambling with this energy. Maybe we think of going out, or maybe we think of going with some type of friends, or maybe we think of doing some certain kind of activities which are bringing us down. But we think it's okay, Krishna is still there. You know, I still have faith in Krishna. But what does it mean to have faith in Krishna? Krishna is not just an hypothetical personality. He is a real personality. And it's about relationship, cultivating a relationship with the person. But how can we cultivate a relationship with the person when we actually don't spend time with him? Why don't we use our time to hear about him, talk with him, preach, do devotional service, do things for him? He is there whenever his name is pronounced because he's not different from his name and form. We can think about Krishna and Krishna is there because he's not different from that. We can chant the mantra, Hare Krishna, and he's present directly in that vibration. We're doing devotional service, thinking about him, and he is there directly with us. But we can't see him. Why can't we see him? Why can't we see him? If Krishna is in the holy name, why can't I see Krishna? Why can't I feel him sometimes? Maybe I read books like speaking about Krishna and I read Krishna, the name Krishna so many times, why can't I see him? Where is Krishna? And we can think, sometimes there are two things. One is, do we really want to see him? So it's about our desire, and the other one is about vipralamba, separation. Krishna sometimes hides from us. He wants to hide from us in order to increase our intensity in practice, to increase our eagerness, to increase our desire to see him, to serve him, to be with him. He is not cheap. This is pure, pure essence of spirituality. He's not cheap. So how do we attain him? Cultivating this eagerness to want to be with him, to cry for him. With whatever we do it with full awareness and consciousness. That's how we can finally be with him. These two very simple things, cry for him, feel the separation from him, and want him. I want Krishna. Nothing else. Whenever we are choosing for something else as well, Krishna reciprocates in the same way. It's like we go to a shop, we give 5 euros, and we get a notebook which is nice in the boutique, a nice notebook, and it's an exchange of energy. It's the same exchange. In the same way, you give something to Krishna, and he gives you back something. But when you give everything to Krishna, that's when Krishna gives himself to you. Krishna surrenders. Krishna is defeated by his pure devotees. When Krishna is actually getting everything from the devotee, in that moment he completely gives himself to the person. And in that moment we can actually see Krishna in every moment, in every thought, in every action. And then finally we can become Krishna conscious. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, please fight. In the same way, Krishna he's not telling us just renounce everything and abandon everything. No, fight. Fight the war you are in. You are here for a certain reason, for purification. But do that for me, thinking about me, and then you can attain me. So in the same way, we are in this huge battlefield of life, in this material existence. And that's just wonderful. Because we have the chance to be with Krishna, to be guided by Krishna. So, I guess I have to conclude. So, thank you for listening. And I hope, me, myself also, that we can all become great warriors in this great battlefield and constantly take shelter of Krishna and the holy name and preaching devotional service and try our best to engage all our senses in Krishna consciousness. And then we can see miracles happening in this big battle. And we can finally win this battle and go back to Godhead and be peaceful and happy with Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry, no time for questions and comments. But there is kirtan now, so we can put in act what we learned in the class.